Hello, and welcome to this edition of Today in STEM, the show where we explore science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, talk about the latest discoveries and how it impacts your everyday life. Our very special guest today is Dr. Mark Bush, professor at the Florida Institute of Technology. Dr. Bush has more than 30 years of experience working in biogeography and the paleoecology of tropical systems, and says that every time he does research in this area, he learns something new. So we're excited to talk to him. Dr. Bush, welcome.
Hi, Wes. Great to be here. Thank you.
First, some fast facts. The Amazon rainforest is the large tropical rainforest occupying the drainage basin of the Amazon River in northern South America. It covers an area of 2.3 million square miles, and the Amazon rainforest is a part of 9 countries. It's the world's richest and most varied biological reservoir, containing several million species of insects, plants, birds, other forms of life, many still unrecorded by science. And perhaps we can talk a bit about that. Also, did you know that more than 20% of the world's oxygen is produced by the Amazon rainforest? And the Amazon rainforest covers some 40% of the South American continent. So some fun facts to get us going with our discussion. We're very interested in, particularly in some of your work related to the Amazon. But before we get into that in more depth, tell us what interests you and what first interested you about studying that particular region of the world.
Oh, the Amazon is just so iconic. It's the center of biodiversity for the planet. It's a carbon sink that's of immense importance to us. And it's just so colorful. It's such a rich place to think about and to study. It's just a wonderful place to visit.
And again, so iconic, right? When we think of biodiversity, when we think of the richness of planet Earth, the Amazon often comes to mind. Now, you recently co-authored a study in the journal Nature that provides the first quantitative assessment of how environmental policies on deforestation, along with forest fires and drought, have impacted the diversity of plants and animals in the Amazon. What would you say are your most interesting findings from that study?
Well, I think the most interesting finding is that policy matters. I mean, it really matters. We were able to look at times when there were droughts and times when there weren't droughts, when there was policy in place to try and prevent deforestation and fire, and times when that policy has been relaxed under the present administration. And we see a dramatic difference. So when there is an effective policy in place, even if there are droughts, then we don't see very much fire in the system. On the other hand, under the recent relaxation of policy, what we're seeing now is more and more fire in the system. And that is really impacting species, especially species which have limited distributions.
And when you say limited distributions, what do you mean by that?
That's biology speak for saying they're kind of rare.
Okay.
And so they only occur in a small area. And if their area is impacted by fire, then that's it. They're basically toast, literally.
And there are many, many species that exist only in the Amazon, correct?
Oh, yes. Many thousands.
Yes.
And so there's 16,000 species of tree, countless species of insects. We haven't begun to really catalog them. And what we found is that of these things, especially if they've got these relatively rare ranges or small ranges, we find that 80% of them are adversely impacted by fire.
So as we think about policymakers and the implications of this research and other research, what are the top things that policymakers should keep in mind as they go about their work?
Policymakers have to be cognizant of the fact that things could go horribly wrong. And one of the things that could go wrong is that the Amazon could be approaching a tipping point. And again, that's a biological bit of jargon saying that it could flip to a new state. So rainforest is wonderfully rich in biodiversity. But if it was to suddenly change to become a grassland or bare ground, that would be catastrophic. It would be catastrophic for the wildlife. It would be catastrophic for the cultures of the people who live there and also of carbon sequestration. So it would feed global warming. So we're very aware that the Amazon is close to this tipping point, and the things which would fuel it are further global climate change and, importantly, further deforestation. And so it's difficult. We all know it's difficult to control global climate change, that we're looking at, you know, 50 years into the future, maybe before we can make real impacts there possibly. But policy matters tomorrow, and we can change policy tomorrow. And so when we see a relaxation of policy, that's very disturbing.
Let's zoom in for a moment and speak of forest fires. When the average individual thinks of the Amazon, they might think of these lush, tropical, mm-hmm. very damp, humid kinds of conditions. But how does fire work, if you will, in the Amazon? And really, how does it manifest to be able to damage that environment?
That's a critical thing. That's a great question. Because fire is not natural in the Amazon. It's too wet for fire, and so things are not adapted to it. Trees have got paper-thin bark there, and so a fire, even a mild fire running across the ground, will kill that tree. And so the introduction of fire has come purely as a result of human activity. It's not thoroughly modern. We've got evidence of people introducing fire into the Amazon basin for 6,000 years or more. But the kind of scale of fire that we're seeing is unprecedented.
And the ability to combat fire, correct? I mean, we think about in the United States, we think of the Forestry Service, we think of watchtowers, we think of things of that nature. Does that sort of infrastructure exist in the Amazon?
Not at all. And so what we're seeing, for the most part, is small-scale fires which are being set by people to clear the land for agriculture. So as soon as you build a new road, a logging trail or something like that into the Amazon, all the side spurs come off it and those areas become burned and destroyed effectively. So there is no control over this. The control comes from not allowing new roads to be built, not allowing illegal roads to be built.
Making sure that there are rules and regulations, correct? Back to this idea of policy for the Amazon.
Right. So when there were rules and regulations governing burning and governing cutting of the forest, they worked very, very effectively. And so we saw that during even the major drought of 2015 and 2016, there really wasn't an uptick in fire in the Amazon because the policies were in place. Unfortunately, the new administration came in after that and they relaxed these policies. And now we're seeing much bigger increases in fire, even though we don't have a particular drought going on.
And let's do talk about drought for a moment, sort of hand in hand with fire, correct,
mm-hmm.
in terms of
Absolutely.
The impact. So how does drought manifest itself and what do you see as sort of the root causes for that region?
So the droughts come in waves. They seem to be about 5 years apart, and that fits with the sort of cycle that we see in ocean surface temperatures. And so if the Atlantic Ocean warms up, then we get a knock-on effect into the Amazon that propagates a drought across the Amazon basin. And so when those droughts hit, that's when someone has set a small fire, which normally would just have burnt out, but now it becomes a wildfire. And so these are all the fires we see are caused by people, but they're sort of double down, if you like, when it's drought conditions.
With your years of experience and research, sir, looking at the Amazon rainforest, what do you see as we sit here today as the future of the Amazon?
I think the future of the Amazon is not that bleak. I'm fairly optimistic about it. But if we don't have active policies to control fire and deforestation, then all bets are off. I think that the amount of climate change that we're going to see coming even as a result of anthropogenic climate change over the next century, the Amazon could probably withstand it. But what it can't withstand is fire. So if the administration doesn't shut down that kind of deforestation and fire activity in the Amazon, it's going to be a huge problem.
And a problem not just for the folks of that area, but truly an international issue.
Exactly, because the Amazon it sequesters about 17% of global carbon. And so if you deforest an area and you burn it, that carbon is released. It's released out of the soils, it's released out of the timber, and that will fuel further climate change. But more than that, it's a hydrological issue. So the water cycle that the Amazon sort of supports is immensely important to all of South American agriculture. And if you take that away, the drought that you get as a result of that would not be in the Amazon, but it would be down into southern Brazil, into Chile, into Argentina, the sort of the meat basket and bread basket of these areas. And that would be a huge economic burden.
Our guest has been Dr. Mark Bush, professor at the Florida Institute of Technology, who has written extensively and researched in the area of the Amazon. Dr. Bush, thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
That's going to do it for this edition of Today in STEM. We'll see you next time. Until then, I'm Wes Sumner. Have a great day.
Today in STEM is brought to you by the Florida Institute of Technology and WFIT. More information available at wfit.org.